There's so much misinformation out there. You overpronate and you might need a stability shoe. If anyone's ever told you running's bad for your knees, slap them.
No offense to all the runners out there, but you're all pretty challenged.
Physical bent. Post run beer is one of the best beers you'll ever have.
You never feel shit after a run.
You'll get fit, you'll get strong, you'll get healthy.
Running is fucking awesome. Hi Mike, I'm Dutch. I work as a massage therapist.
My name's Pat. I'm a running coach, physio. I'm an avid runner myself. We thought we'd call the podcast That's Running.
All right.
So we're on coffees instead of beers today.
Oh, fine.
Which is good.
It's also like 11 a.m. so it's better. 11 a.m.
And I've had enough beer this week.
You've always had enough beer. How many beers do you have a turbo at night?
I've not always had enough beer, but I have this weekend.
How many beers do you have a turbo when you spun the wheel?
So I went to Turbo's house and did the wheel spin.
Yeah.
And I think I was there for about 45 minutes and had three beers.
I think it's Turbo.
Yeah.
He just smashes them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We had to delete a beer spinning the wheel. So
it's good.
No running was involved. So coffee's today now.
Yeah, sweet. We're talking speed today, not the drug, but running fast.
Yeah, redlining.
How to get faster.
Yeah. So specifically how to improve your speed.
Yeah, because I think both of us, we see a fair few runners that like are pretty injury free and just like, oh yeah, everything's going well. I'm just slow or I can't get any faster. I'm plateauing. Yeah. Where do I go from here?
Mm.
And like the answer is sort of simple, but also it has a few factors.
Yeah.
I would say.
It's like from our kind of holistic perspective, it's pretty straightforward.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people there's a lot of misconceptions and just poor training strategies out there that just don't add up. Like, you know, the most obvious thing is I'm trying to get faster, so I'm going to run fast all the time. And like, that's actually not the way to train to get faster. Yeah.
Is it important to run fast and above threshold? Absolutely.
Yeah.
But if you do that every session, you're just not having quality sessions.
Exactly.
Yeah. You just run fast and fast and fast, and then the body's like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
It needs other stimulus.
Yeah. So everyone has their own like genetic base or like their own biological kind of status that they're beginning from, and some people are just naturally a bit quicker than others. And when we say quick, like some people can just run 100 meters faster than other people, some people can hold their tempo pace longer than other people. So everyone can get faster, and for some people they don't give a shit. For some people the goal is just, I just want to run faster, I want to get my 5 kilometer time quicker, my 10 kilometer time quicker, whatever it might be. So keeping in mind that everyone's starting from a different level, but you can all employ pretty much the same strategy to get fast.
Absolutely.
And so when we're talking about getting fast, I guess for us, it's not talking about sprinting 30 meters quicker. It's more like, how do you, you know, get your 10K time a little bit better?
Yeah. Or your 5K, or even how do you perform a bit better in those like 400 or 1K repeats?
Yeah. Yeah.
And how do you get a bit faster there? Or even like half marathon and marathon as well.
Yeah. Definitely.
So that's generally people go after they've done their first whatever event, they go back to do a similar event, try to beat their time.
Exactly. Yeah.
And people do it every week at parkrun when parkrun was still a thing.
And that's the challenge and progression in the sport. Once you've kind of like ticked off your first goal, like, yes, I ran a marathon, then just the next progression is to try and do it a little bit quicker. So like it's the goal it's for most people in running. Definitely. So Mike, how do you get faster?
A few things. Run slow.
Train slow to run fast.
Train slow to run fast.
Explain. Because that's like a big paradox, right? It doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense at all, but we call it the 80-20 rule.
Yeah.
80% of your running should be easy and should just be time on legs, you just running.
Mm-hmm.
And then the 20% should be destructively hard. Where you go,
destructively.
I hate myself. Why am I doing this? And you're only like halfway through the set.
Yeah.
And you go, I'm going to vorm potentially, maybe not.
Mm.
And you continue.
Yeah.
So run your slow stuff slower.
Mm-hmm.
So I like to call it the gray area where you sort of, your heart rate's a bit high. You can't really hold a conversation, but you're doing a long run.
Mm.
So you're not getting the benefit of building your just your aerobic base.
Exactly.
But you're not getting any benefit because you're not working above a threshold.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you're in that sort of gray area where you're like, you don't get the full benefit of either.
Yeah. And I think that gray area has application when you already have a really good, amazing aerobic base.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
So then it gets almost slightly slower than tempo work.
Yeah.
So it's somewhere in that middle.
Yeah.
Area where a lot of people run their long runs.
Long runs too fast.
So slow down your long runs and spend time on legs. Like, yep. I've got amazing 5 and 10K runners that, like, they all they run is 5Ks and 10Ks and race that.
Yep.
They do 130Ks a week.
Yeah.
And none of that is at race pace.
Yeah, it's all.
Maybe one session a week to go, I'm going to smash myself.
Yep.
All the other stuff is just slow long runs, yep. 25K runs to, yep, train for a 5K.
Exactly.
It's building aerobic capacity.
Exactly. And
super important.
You can only build that aerobic capacity when you run well below your threshold. Like, we're talking zone two stuff. If you're, yeah, using, if you're using the five zones, we're talking about zone two, which is low heart rate and you can run along and you perceive it as easy and you can hold a conversation.
Exactly.
That's the training zone where you actually develop your endurance adaptations that we're looking for.
Mm.
So we're talking about, like, better capillarization of your, like, your peripheral muscles, better mitochondrial transport, like all those physiological microscopic adaptations, they occur when you run slow. They actually don't occur in that gray area where you're running really, yeah, hard. You'll feel like you get a better workout and you'll be more exhausted at the end of it.
Because you're sweaty and puffed.
Yeah, but sweaty and puffed doesn't lead to those, you know, mid to long-term adaptations, mm, that we're actually looking for. So I actually listened to a lecture, this is going back a few months now, looking at the contributions of different energy systems to running performance.
Mm-hmm.
So when we run, say, like, a kilometer as fast as we can, we're running faster than our threshold pace and we're running using basically anaerobic energy, basically, if we're running less than a K as fast as we can. But if you're running anything more than, I think the tipping point was 3Ks, then your endurance aerobic energy system contributes 97% of the work.
Hmm.
So that's a 5K race, right? 5 and 10K and anything longer as well. But even like a 5K race, which is pretty fast, your endurance aerobic system is contributing 97% of the fuel, basically. Yeah. 97%. So that's the system that you train when you do those easy, long, slow runs. So you could just do that sort of running and actually perform quite well over a 5K.
I think you are the prime example training for UTMB.
Yeah.
Where you, I don't think you did a speed, you did, might have done a speed test once every 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah,
if it fitted in.
Occasionally.
And you did a lot of long, long, slow running, mm-hmm, even hiking,
because,
mm, you did a lot of hills.
Yeah.
And you, did you run a 5K PB?
So that was when I was training for 100 kilometer.
100 mile.
No, this has gone back a couple of years.
Oh, a couple of years, yeah.
So when I was training for a 100-kilometer race, I got my 5 and 10K PB training for a 100-kilometer race, which was largely just your long, slow stuff. Mm. Just, yeah, the occasional speed session in there. Because my aerobic system was just so fine-tuned.
Exactly.
And so that's when you do the occasional bit of speed work, mm, and you can really keep things ticking along in your legs nicely. So, like, a bit of a case study, actually had someone come in on Saturday, like literally 2 days ago, and it was a patient in the clinic, and she came in saying, I'm uninjured, I feel good when I run, like, everything's well, I'm not here for physio stuff, I can't run fast, I train really hard and I'm just still one of the slowest ones in my group. Like, what? And she was like, what is it? Is it the way that I breathe? Is it, you know, is it my shoes? Is it, like, it's always the shoes.
Yeah. It's always the shoes.
Yeah. And so we sat down and we kind of, like, unpacked a lot of it. And I had a look at her from a physio point of view, and, you know, she was pretty strong and, like, hips moved well, good ankle mobility, like, all the nice kind of physio things were there. There were no issues. Like, her shoes were completely fine, like, completely appropriate. But it's when we were talking about her training strategies, she's someone who trains, I guess, comes from a more intense training background. Mm. So does a lot of circuit training, a lot of HIIT workouts, does some boxing, and probably runs maybe 3 to 4 times a week.
Mm-hmm.
But I know the people she runs with, and that she does running with a group that largely just do circuits and hill sprints and that sort of thing.
Just hard stuff.
Yeah. And then she's like, yeah, and I also run, you know, 2 to 3 times per week just on my own. And we talked about what speeds and what pace she was running and does that feel comfortable. And it turns out that even just when she would go for a 10K run on her own, it was still at a pace that was not comfortable. So I just painted this picture and said, we always say like 80-20, right? She was probably like 20-80.
Right.
So that was like, even that, I'm like, cool. If your goal, your intention is just to get faster, we need to flip that. So that was one big thing. And that was really interesting. I was like, let's just look at your running technique and just see if there's anything we can tweak or refine, just to see if we can make it a little bit more efficient or comfortable. And started running and just was running a bit like a robot, really rigid, because her cadence was about 190 at 6 minute pace.
Poor.
Which is, some people can do that, but it looked extreme. Like she was like running over hot coals almost.
Right.
Like kind of like a robot, like really tiny, tiny, quick, short steps. Because she'd been told in the past by other people that you should run on your toes, should run 4 foot because it's better and faster.
Yeah.
She was actually told that by a sprinter, by someone who
which is true for sprinting.
Yeah. So this person's a 400 meter sprinter.
Oh, fuck.
So like, yeah, cool. Running on your toes maybe might help that.
Well,
so
that's absolutely fine.
So she'd been told that's a better way to run, and then trying to run, yeah, like your 10K with a really overly high cadence on your toes just didn't really work for her. So what we did was I was like, dude, just relax your technique. That was the first thing we did, and that was hard for her. And then I actually slowed her cadence down. I took her from 190 down to about 175, 180. And she was like, oh, well, that's easy. That's so much easier to breathe. There's so much, like, instantly easier to breathe. And it was fascinating because her thing was, she's like, I'm running along and I just, breathing's hard, I can't breathe. I slowed her cadence down.
Just so much energy going, just really quick steps.
And I could just almost see it, and she would see it straight away in her face. And she was like, oh, wow, that's amazing, that's beautiful.
That's nice.
And she's like, so like, I don't need to run up on my toes? And I'm like, nope.
Just run.
Yeah.
But it's interesting how many people like still believe that. Like I saw literally yesterday, I was on Instagram, I was scrolling through my feed. I was like, hey, there was like someone running at 5 miles per hour, same person running at 10. And the subtitle was always aim for 180 RPM cadence. And I was just like,
so you didn't like the post?
I was just like, oh, do I want to open this discussion right here and now? No, I don't. I don't have time for this shit.
Got triggered.
Yeah, very much so. And a few people commenting underneath, yeah, I've been working towards 180 for a while now. I'm just like, oh, it's not for everyone.
Yeah, don't do it.
Don't silly. Do it. Like, find what works for you, but whatever.
So that was, yeah, in terms of like just and her getting faster.
Yeah.
For this individual, it was training strategy. So just like slow things down, drop the intensity, spend more time in the endurance zone. It was a little technique tweak as well.
Mm.
But for someone else, they might actually do the 80-20 thing and they might train quite sensibly and have a nice, efficient technique, but they might have never set foot in the gym.
Yeah.
It's like, cool, there's something completely different that we can do. Like, strength is one thing, and like developing power is another thing as well. Yeah,
absolutely. Like, because we know from research, strength and power training increases speed by what?
It increases your running economy.
Economy by
like 4 to 8%.
Yeah.
And yeah, like we know that if you embark on a 12-week strength training program, and then if you do a 5 kilometer time trial at the start, then do 12 weeks of strength, then do a 5 kilometer time trial at the end. You usually get about 4% faster on your 5K time trial compared to the people who did not strength train. Yeah,
so that's no change in running training, purely adding strength training.
Exactly. And that makes you more economical in terms of your running. And economical does not mean you run faster. It means you can run at the same pace with less energy
expenditure.
Yeah, exactly. So imagine running 4 minute pace, feeling, oh, this is like quite hard, I'm at my limit, versus running at 4 minute pace going, this is, I can sustain this.
Yeah.
And that's the difference. It's
basically a feeling thing.
It does.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, if you're someone who does strength work, who does a lot of circuit training, a lot of high-intense stuff, maybe you need to slow it down a little bit. If you're someone who trains really well but does no strength, maybe that's it. Maybe it could actually be like a running technique thing.
Absolutely. There's a massive thing there.
Yeah.
Where if you massively overstride and your foot lands far in front of your hip, you are actually literally putting the brakes on.
Yeah.
So that might be a change you want to look into and go, yep. Hey, get your running technique looked at. Maybe I should increase my cadence. Maybe if I can get that foot closer to my hip, you'll improve your running economy. That does not necessarily make you faster right then and there, but it'll take less energy to move forward.
Yeah, exactly.
Which means you can use more energy moving forward.
Exactly. Definitely.
So we've got run slower, do strength work.
Yeah.
Maybe some tweaks in running technique.
Yeah.
What else?
Did we say strength? We said strength.
That was strength. We just talked about go do strength in the gym. Maybe another coffee for you, Patty.
Another coffee. But that's a good point. Actually, like, caffeine's probably like the best legal performance enhancing drug as well, to drink coffee.
The thing is, like, if you are I have three coffees a day kind of guy or gal, you taking caffeine during a race will not impact you that much.
Probably won't.
But if you manage to get off the caffeine for a couple of weeks before your race, and halfway through your race, take like a gel with caffeine or a Revis or whatever, you'll feel it.
Yeah, you'll be peaking.
Yeah. So that, like, legal drugs always works.
The other thing, which is actually super relevant, I can't believe I didn't think of it till now, is that it's a long, long process.
Yeah.
So, like, above all else, like, the thing that just trumps everything else is being uninjured.
Oh.
If you are uninjured, you can train consistently, and if you train consistently, everything gets better. So it doesn't matter if you do everything else perfectly, but you get a different niggle every 10 weeks and you've got to take a week off. If you're not consistent, you won't build. So
absolutely.
And that actually ties in nicely with actually doing some strength and running a bit slower, because they're the ways to not get injured.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's almost like this nice full circle thing. It all kind of feeds into each other. If you train sensibly, do some strength, don't be injured, that way you can train consistently, and training consistently is like literally there's been studies on this. The evidence shows that the best performing people miss the least days of training.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely. It sort of makes sense, right? Yeah.
So that's where it's so relevant to get a coach in your corner or get a running specialist physio in your corner who can help you with these things. That's why it's so relevant.
And even if that's for a short time, like, it's not go see someone for the rest of your life. If you can go, a coach can talk to me and give me a program for the next 6 months, and you learn heaps from that and go take that information, use that, and then build your own thing.
Yeah.
Or go see a physio for a couple of sessions and go, hey, what do I need to tweak? What can I change?
Yeah, exactly.
To be more efficient.
Exactly. And I consult with quite a lot of people in that sense. Like, we might have like kind of three sessions pretty early on, like, let's look at your technique, let's talk about your training, let's do some strength work, and then I'll just consult with people like every 6 weeks, like check in, what do we need to do, what are you feeling? So having someone like that in your corner is actually super valuable, because often it takes just an external point of view to pick up something that you didn't realize you were doing.
Absolutely.
And that stuff, like someone else picking up on little things, can make such a huge difference.
Mm.
And when you're in that world yourself, quite often you don't pick up on those things.
No, because you don't see it.
Yeah. And you might think, oh, but I am training slow, but then it'll take someone else to go through your data and say, no, you're not, mate.
I did it a lot for people where they come to me going, oh, I'm just going to work towards this race. And I look at the data, I'm like, slow the fuck down.
Yeah.
Just back off. Yeah. You don't need to run 4:30 pace all the time.
Exactly. Yeah.
Even though, it's only a 5K, but not every 5K has to be at a red light.
Exactly.
Unless you're turbo.
Yeah. You got to stop and smell the roses a lot of the time, I think.
Absolutely. So anything else?
Probably.
Like recovery?
Probably literally every single other podcast episode we've done is relevant as well.
Yeah.
Like, you've got to eat well, recover, hydrate.
All the usual.
Yeah.
But
that's nothing new.
The main thing is slow down, do strength work, and the last one we talked about.
And a bit of a plan. Have a schedule around it. I think. Yeah. And then probably just run faster.
Yeah.
No, when it comes down to an effort, like actually it's a good point though. Like,
yeah, true.
In terms of like race day, or when it comes down to like, cool, this is how I'm going to gauge if I'm fast or not, whether that's a time trial, a race, or like a run with mates. It's like a lot of it is mental, and your body will be saying, hey, we're fatigued, we've got to stop, we've got to slow down, but you can't override that.
No, your brain's saying that. Your body can still go.
Yeah.
But yeah, and just suck it up.
Yeah.
Suffer.
Yeah. But that's on the odd occasion, not several times a week.
Suffer on the odd occasion where you're just like, this is fucking hard and I want to vomit.
And be prepared mentally to dig deep into a hole.
Yeah.
Because that's where That's when you
can. Well, at the point where you want to give up, that's where you improve.
Yeah. True. That's where you perform.
That's where you perform, and that's where you need to just go, fuck it, I'm just going to do it.
Yeah. I like that. Cool. Everyone just got faster.
Done.
Any questions or anything, always just shoot us a message, yeah? Because I love this stuff. Boom. Bye.